Let's take a moment and pray together. Our gracious and loving God, we come to you and invite your Holy Spirit to be with us, filling us with your wisdom, your understanding, so that as your words are proclaimed, they will make sense to us, and that our hearts would be open to the leading of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So how many of you are ready for 2018? How many are glad 2017 is in the rearview mirror? It is the beginning of a new year. I realize we are like 2 weeks into it. But this time of year, you usually need to take stock of where your life is. I mean, that's usually what we do. You know, some of us try to think about those extra 20 pounds. You know, it's always 20. No matter how many more you added on that year, it's still, you know, 20 every January. But there are times that, you know, we're just trying to think of resolutions and things that we're going to do in the new year and things that are going to happen. And we just kind of take stock of it. For some of us, 2017 was amazing and filled with great experiences. For others, we're just glad it's 2018. And for most of us, it's probably a blend of each. And we're looking forward to new things in this new year. But there probably are some things in this new year that are going to be a little challenging. And so as believers, what type of attitude or mindset should we have as we look forward to a new day, a new season, a new year, especially when we've been struggling a bit and we might need some encouragement? That's where I think Peter's words come into play. And we're going to read the first few verses of 1 Peter. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets, who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. This is the word of God. Well, as we look at what Peter has to say, it seems like he is very optimistic. I mean, you get a letter from Peter, you're going to be feeling pretty good about yourself, you know? It's like you get this wonderful message, and how does he start? You know, grace and peace be yours in abundance. And he's talking to people that need some encouragement because they are going through some challenging times. And so the things that he says to them are like amazing. And they are not just written to the people at the time, but they are written to us as well, that we have been given a new birth into a living hope that can never be destroyed. And that is our salvation found in Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of times we think about things that can be destroyed and things that, especially if you have children, lots of things get destroyed when you're children, and you get all of these things for Christmas. I mean, I'm sure we got all kinds of amazing things for Christmas. I got great things for Christmas. An interesting thing from our son is he got us an Alexa, which is really great until you're watching a show that has a person's character's name as Alexis. And then Alexa thinks that she's being talked to throughout the entire movie. But, you know, having an Alexa is kind of fun. You just kind of tell Alexa to do this and ask Alexa about that. And, you know, it's just kind of fun. She's adding all kinds of things to the shopping list. And we can tell her to play whatever our favorite music is and all that kind of stuff. It's a new thing. But we didn't have, I think the Alexa we have is not even the original Alexa. Because there had to be like a 2.0. I'm sure there's going to be like a 3.0 and a 3.59 or something. I don't know. As it improves and gets better. And so whenever we get something new, it just sounds like it's going to be awesome. But that new thing we know as a material thing is not going to last forever. Alexa is going to be amazing for now until something else comes along in 6 months or a year or 5 years or whatever it is. There's always something new to look forward to because the things that are old are going to get destroyed. They're not going to hold up. There are things that just don't last like they used to. Okay, even those of us from a little bit older generation, the things that used to be built in a particular way, we would talk about how they're going to just last forever. They really don't. They just last longer than the things of today, and it's really all has to do with money or whatever. But nothing that we can create is going to last forever. But the gift that we have in Jesus Christ is this new birth into a living hope, which can never be destroyed. It's never going to perish, spoil, or fade, which is so incredible. And it's kept in heaven for us. It's something that we enjoy today, but it's also something that we will enjoy forever. It's something that is going to be amazing and something that the people at the time needed to have that kind of encouragement because they were just struggling. They, you know, whatever material things they had were not going to last. And they were part of a group of people that were being persecuted constantly because, you know, the Jewish people were just a tiny little group of people. And within that tiny little group of people, there was this offshoot of people called Christians. So they were like a minority of a minority. And they were being persecuted. And they were being put down for their faith. And people weren't really understanding what they were doing. And so Peter writes this letter of encouragement to them to let them know that it is going to be okay. In fact, I find it interesting. He says, in this you greatly rejoice. Now you think something really good is going to come after that, you know. In this you greatly rejoice, comma, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. You know, I just find that funny because it just sounds like somebody's just trying to put a happy spin on it. You know, you're going through a horrible time right now, but in this you greatly rejoice. Like how many of us have gone through difficult times and we're like, yes, you know, have you seen that weird commercial? I don't like commercials. Usually we skip through them, but I saw this commercial and it's probably a Geico thing or something. Anyway, they're like, no, it's a cable thing or something. Anyway, people that don't like cable network, you know, are like people that like to have hot coffee dumped on them. And then, you know, you see the person dumping hot coffee on themselves and like, yes, you know, and that kind of made me think of First Peter because that's kind of what First Peter was saying. Maybe that's where they got the idea for the commercial. I don't know. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, you're going to go through great trials and griefs. Well, that's nothing, you know, and it's Peter acknowledging, yes, you're going through a really tough time. But as believers, we should be handling our lives a little bit differently than the rest of the world. As we start a new year, new day, new season, whatever, we should be people that are greatly rejoicing, even in the midst of difficult times. Even when you don't feel like being at work, in this you greatly rejoice, at least I have a job. You know, in this you greatly rejoice, even though you're going through cancer, or you're going through divorce, or you're going through grief, trial, pain, whatever it is. You just totaled your car. In this you greatly rejoice. Now, for some of us, it may be that way. You're like, yes, I'm going to get a new car. This thing's been clunking around for how long? Thank you, ICE. This really worked out well. It's a rare thing that we do a First Peter thing. In this you greatly rejoice in the midst of trials and griefs, because nobody likes to go through trials and griefs. But Peter says these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor. And so he's like bookending this, where in this you greatly rejoice, and it will result in you, you know, just worshiping Jesus like no other. You know, you're just going to be so excited. In the middle is the grief and pain and trials. But he's helping us to understand that those things are going to come. You know, the Bible is not full of platitudes and things that just say, well, you know, buck up, little camper. It's there to let us know you're going to go through difficult times. But there's a purpose behind it. There's a reason behind it. There are things that happen. We live in a sinful, fallen world with sinful, fallen people. Of course, outside this room, I'm sure. You know, all of us in here are perfect. But those other people that we have to deal with, sinful, fallen people that make poor choices, and we have to deal with that. And the Bible does not sugarcoat any of that. It says you will greatly rejoice because this will make you a better person. Your character will be formed. Your faith will be refined like the fire, like in fire. And you will be able to give praise and glory and honor to God for what he has done. Now, that doesn't mean that you're feeling it every day. It doesn't mean that this joy is just bubbling over and you're just excited all the time. I think you can have joy inside you and not necessarily be expressing it constantly. We can't really live at that high level all the time. If we did, our coworkers would just, you know, they wouldn't be our coworkers anymore. You know, have you ever been like a little too happy at work and people are like, what is your problem? You need to calm down. You're really driving me crazy. Have you ever had a coworker threaten to throat punch you because you're too happy? I have had that happen. Of course, she's only like 24, but it's just kind of funny. Like, what is your problem? You're just way too happy. I'm like, my life is good. I am blessed. My children are like not dead in a ditch somewhere. And my husband is amazing. Our future is awesome. I don't have any complaints. That is truly how we are to live. Not that life is always going to be fantastic for me. Life has been challenging in ways I never anticipated and in ways that I would pray that other people wouldn't have to go through. But I know that each day is a gift from God, and I know that we have been given the gift of new birth into a living hope that can never be destroyed, and we are created not to be mired in the day-to-day drama of life or what's going on in the news, but in the midst of all of that trial and grief and pain, that we can give praise to God and we can have a kind of joy that others do not have. I remember years ago, my mom passed away. We were all in our 20s. And I'm the baby of the family. And I just remember going through that difficult time. My mom and I were very close. She played the piano beautifully. She and I would sing and play together. And we would just spend hours just at home. Nobody even heard us. It was just fun. And there was this green couch in the music room. And she starts playing the piano. I lay down on the couch. She's like, what are you doing laying down there? You need to get over here and sing with me. And she starts singing alto. I'd sing soprano. She's playing. And we would just, you know, Broadway show tunes, hymnal, whatever. We just had a great time. And when she passed away, I felt like lost. I was in my senior year of college, and I didn't know how my life was going to be without having my mom there. In the midst of that, the thing that I kept thinking is, I'm going to see her again someday. And I went to her funeral, best funeral I've ever been to in my life. Little sounds a little weird, but we had the choir, and there were 60 people in the choir. My mom played piano for the church choir for 25 years. Didn't think she really did that well, so she refused to get paid for it. She's a little quirky. But she just loved music. And so for her funeral, they sang this song that I will always remember. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Comes from the book of Isaiah. And as we're there, I couldn't sing. I'm sitting in the congregation. The congregation probably had, I don't know, a couple hundred people there. And I have a cassette tape of my mom's funeral. that I like to listen to because there's so much joy in it, because I could look forward to being reunited with my mom, and someday that song would be sung, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord," you know, will be on you. And it was like I knew that even though I'm going to go the rest of my life without my mom on earth, I would get to see her someday. So anyway, in the home I grew up in, there are three bedrooms that were all taken up. So my sister was on one couch. I was on another couch. She was on the green couch. I got to be in the good couch in the other room. She came to me about midnight, and she said, "You and Mom are really close." And I said, "Yeah, I know." And she's like, "But you don't seem to be totally destroyed by this." And I said, "Well, I know where she is. And I know that wherever she is, I'm going to be reunited with her someday. And that gives me hope. And so I can have some joy in the midst of this." And at that moment, she said, "I want whatever it is that you have." And I thought, I want to live my life in such a way that other people will see that kind of joy in the midst of trials, in the midst of frustrations, and want to have that same kind of joy, because it's not a joy that belongs to me in the sense that I'm making it up as I go along. It's a joy that comes from having faith in Christ and knowing that I have something that will never be destroyed, never be taken from me, because I know that Christ has given me new life in Him. And not only do I get to enjoy it for today, what is coming is going to be better than that 60-member choir at Grace United Methodist Church. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be joy-filled. And I will get to be there and enjoy those who have gone before. And so as believers in Christ, we sometimes lose sight of that. We sometimes forget about the joy that we can have. We forget that Jesus is much more powerful than cancer or death or divorce or frustration or pain. In fact, this is something that people have been longing for forever. If you look at the passage of Scripture, it says that concerning this salvation, the prophets were looking forward to something because they were going through trials and griefs and pains, and Jesus had not yet come. And they were writing about the Messiah. And if you read this, it says they were trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing, when He predicted the sufferings of the Christ and the glories that would follow. So here are these prophets 1,000 or 2,000 years before Jesus shows up, and they're searching the Scriptures and they're looking for hope and they want that joy and they know the Messiah is going to come. And what do the Scriptures tell us? The Spirit of Christ, before it ever came on in the form of a baby, the Spirit of Christ was inhabiting those prophets and giving them hope and reminding them of the joy that would be to come. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but they were serving the people that would get to enjoy this moment of Jesus coming and giving us so much. In fact, even the angels, you know, we heard about the angels at Christmas time here a couple weeks ago, and the angels are a little scary. They had to be scary because every time they show up, they say, "Don't be afraid." If that's what you have to say every time, then you must seem pretty scary. But even the angels are longing to have this culmination of joy and victory, and that everything will be overcome. Death and hell will be completely destroyed, and we will be reunited with those whom we love. And as we look at a new year together, we can be reminded of the joys that we get to have today and the joys that will be to come, that we've been given a gift that can never be destroyed. So each day as we wake up and you do your morning routine, whatever that looks like, remember that you are a child of God and you have been given the gift, a gift that will never perish, spoil, or fade, that is kept in heaven for us. And each day is a gift that can be filled with joy. Now I want to share with you a prayer that has always been a source of hope for me. It was written by John Wesley a few hundred years ago, but it is relevant for us today because what it does is it helps us to keep perspective on each day and on a year that is to come. So hear these words of this prayer. I am no longer my own but thine. Put me to what thou wilt, rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Oh God, these words of John Wesley and these words of Peter are words that ring so true for us. That as we are reminded that you are the one that is in control, and we may go through trials and griefs, but there is joy to be had, and there is a future that is brighter than anything we could imagine. We pray that you would help us to keep each day in that kind of perspective, that no matter what we're doing or where we are, you are with us, guiding us, leading us, and giving us that living hope of everlasting life with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.